This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to is an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. With these podcasts, Father Vazquez provides a very distinct and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith, and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, the disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week free of charge, either as a podcast on Apple iTunes or at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic World. Whether you're listening on CD, over the internet, or on your MP3 player, we invite you to sit back, turn up the volume, and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, a priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast about life and love, about spirituality, a podcast that looks at everything. In fact, we view the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy. But we polish it up in a new manner. We call it Armodoxy. And we invite you to join us right now. This podcast is being brought to you by the good folks at epostle.net, Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. It's part of the expanding vision of the Initiates Mission. So if you're ready, let's take the next step. Well, I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know I did, especially all the wonderful email we got, the very beautiful wishes for Thanksgiving. I really, really appreciate it. It was a great day, and I'm sorry I just left you out there, didn't I? We got together Thursday morning, and then afterwards, it was like later in the day as we were sitting around the Thanksgiving meal, I said, I left everybody alone. I hope you were able to get through that Thanksgiving okay. I know there was a lot of food on many, many tables, and I appreciate some of you wrote in and said you used the prayer that we offered. So I really appreciate that because, you know, it's just getting the message out to more people. And, you know, you're the ambassadors. We're all ambassadors in this for Christ. And so it just meant a lot to me. And so I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. And can you believe where we are today? Can you believe it? We are like 1 month away from the new year. I mean, in a month, we're in 2011. You know, like, where does this time? You know, this is like really bothersome to me because when we were kids, it was like you couldn't wait for the time to go by, right? It's like when you're 10, you're just like thinking, oh man, when am I going to be 12? When you're 12, you're thinking, oh, when I'm 16, I got to drive. And just time is so slow. So now I've heard this said many, many times. People have explained this, that it's a matter of perception, but I don't believe it because definitely time is moving faster now. So there's somebody in charge of this system, and somebody has up the clock. I don't know what it is. Maybe put in. I'm thinking it's like a conspiracy. It's like, you know, we used to use those Duracell batteries. Have you checked out the latest batteries now? You know, like they're lithium ion. Lithium? I mean, doesn't that like... Yes, exactly. It's like, what is this lithium-ion battery? I mean, is it just possible that they've shoved these in the master clock and we're just going a little bit faster than usual? Well, whatever it is, I know that there's just time is just so beautiful. It goes by too fast and you never have enough of it. So let's take advantage of it. Let's take advantage of being together, of sharing this time together. And we won't say Happy New Year yet. We've got still another whole month before that day comes. And between today and that day, of course, is Christmas. And we're getting ready for Christmas. It is the period of Advent right now. And, you know, I know some of you are just out there saying, hey, wait a minute, he blew it. He blew it between now and New Year's. Christmas doesn't come. We celebrate Christmas on January 6th. Well, I've got one for you. You know when we celebrate Christmas? On the 25th, on the January 6th. In fact, we celebrate it today, December 2nd. In fact, the Christian is called to celebrate Christmas every single day. But for conversation's sake, let's just assume that it's somewhere around the beginning of the year. And so as we are getting ready for that Christmas feast celebration, whether you want to celebrate on December 25th or January 6th, and we'll be looking at all those numbers in the coming week, whatever day you want to celebrate, the important thing is what? Is that you're prepared. And interestingly enough, our church fathers, really, in Armenian Orthodoxy, the accent is not on self-evaluation alone, but evaluation with a purpose. Now, you remember during Lent, we get ready for the great Easter celebration. Christ has resurrected, basically to put away the cross and enjoy that victory you have with Christ. Well, in the Christmas celebration, it's again, looking inward, looking and inspecting your life during the period of Advent, but with a purpose of reaching out to others. It is a season of outreach. And of course, you know, the lessons that we learn in a few minutes, we're going to have a Bible study about that here on this next step. If you've been following our epostle.net site, you know that every Wednesday evening we have Bible studies that stream. We've been talking about outreach programs, and it all has a purpose. So Advent really is this great season of giving, of sharing. And what better time, right? You know, I shared with you last week at Thanksgiving what was the real celebration for me. It was a shift in mentality. You know, we got a call from State Senator Carol Liu, California State Senator. She called and said, "Father Voskin, what can we do to support you on your Thanksgiving outreach programs? We want to provide you with some turkeys." And they came through with 28 turkeys. You know, and it was part of a bigger program that we have at In Issues Ministry. Now, you know, the exciting thing is not getting the turkeys. You know what's exciting? A state senator recognizes an Armenian organization, primarily an Armenian priest sitting there who becomes the figurehead for that organization, right? And this priest is not sitting there and saying, "How can you help me?" He's saying, "We are ready to help others." So In His Shoes, to me, is like, has reached a milestone right now. It was a turning point for me last week. Because unsolicited, the senator comes to us and says, "Hey, we want to join what you're doing." So that was really fantastic. And the number of families that we reached out to is only going to be the start of what we're going to be doing this entire Christmas season. So we invite you to plug into all of these things. I got great news for you, by the way. Our toy drive, which is going to be hitting out to 3,500 children we're trying to get to in the Los Angeles County shelters. We just got put up on Amazon.com. So you can donate toys without even being here in Glendale. Just go right on Amazon.com, pick out the toys that you want sent over, and they'll just ship it over. So anyway, if you know what the best way to do is, get on epostle.net, put your email address in there, and that way you'll be sure to get our emails. You'll be getting all of our information. You'll be able to, you know, participate this Advent season like you've never have. Hey, listen, we're going to be doing a lot of stuff today. We've got a lot to share with you today. I mean, you know, life is changing. We're going to be talking about how the universe is changing too.
No brag.
Yeah, it is changing. It's expanding, right? Oh, these people are picking on me over here. You know, they're looking at me like it doesn't change. Okay, our perception, okay? I'm going to be really correct about this. Our perception of the universe has changed. Do you know that astronomers have recalculated the number of stars in the universe? And you'll be surprised how that perception change also affects us. In fact, we're going to be talking a lot about that perception change today, because like I shared with you the story of Senator Carol Liu, it's a change over there. In fact, today's song of the day puts us in that mood too. I am going to honor a request from one of our loyal listeners, Next Steppers. His name is Vahe. He's from here in the Southern California area. He sends us this request for, actually, not only the request. Now, this is the kind of request I like. He actually sends us over the CDs too. And this is Vanush Khanamiryan's Sardarabad. This is off the State Dance Ensemble of Armenia, as you'll tell from the beat. And get ready. Put on your dancing shoes. Enjoy this tune. We'll come back and tell you how it all fits in. Here's Sardarabad. Okay, I think we got rid of any need for caffeine today. No more coffee today. We are wide awake. That was fantastic. That is off of the Armenia State Dance Ensemble album, and it is directed and choreographed by Vanushkan Amirian. Sent to me by one of our listeners. He also sent a few CDs of Khachadur Avedisyan music. Just wonderful, wonderful music. If you ever get a chance to see some clips of the dance ensemble, it is really worth seeing. I've seen them several times in Armenia, as well as, believe it or not, in the Los Angeles area. We've had a chance to enjoy them. But they are, I know, on YouTube. You want to check them out. Incredible dancers, some incredible music. And really, it's all about sharing the gift of God, sharing that talent, right? That's beautiful. Anyway, thank you very much, Vi, for that, for the song, for the CDs. And now, why did we pick out Sardarabad today, besides being a request? Why are we playing that today? Well, we're talking about shift in perception. Now, what is Sardarabad? I got to share that with you because, you know, like there is a method to all of the madness that you hear on, that you hear at Next Step. Sardarabad is a battle that took place in 1918. If you ever get a chance to get out to Armenia, there is a monument to this battle. There's some giant eagles, and you've probably seen them. They're very iconic. If you do a search of a Google search of images of Sardarabad, I'm sure that this will pop up somewhere along the way. Now, Sardarabad is a battle that took place in which the Armenians held their own against the Turks. They held off, and that line was drawn. It said, no more, you can't get in. It was actually a victory for the Armenians, 1918. And I'll never forget, and I know if you do some searching of the archives for Epostle, you'll find, because a couple of years ago, I was very, very upset when we got a directive. I guess it was in the year 2008. It was the 90th anniversary of Sardarabad. And the directive we got from the higher-ups was to celebrate this incredible victory with, ready for this, a requiem service, a hokihankist it's called, but I guess requiem service would be the right translation for it, a requiem for the victims of Sardarabad. Now, I'm all for the victims, and I'm all for people that have given their lives. God bless their memories. I mean, we are not alive today had it not been for the sacrifice of others. We've heard this, and we know this. Let's not play games. I mean, people do sacrifice, and when they do sacrifice, they should be remembered. But do you know that in all of Armenian history, there's probably not another event like Sardarabad? When you put together all of Armenian history in the Christian era, you look at all of that, and even the great one, like Vartanants, is a physical defeat. Somehow Armenians' optimism has changed that, and we've made that, I mean, Vartanants, as I've shared with you, it's the only time that, I think we're the only people, Armenians are the only people that celebrate a loss. Vartanants was a loss, but we celebrate it and we claim this moral victory. Obviously, well, we're Christian. We remain Christian. That's beautiful. But Sardarabad was an out-and-out win. It was a victory. And the celebration for that shouldn't be with a requiem. Shouldn't be with a hokihankist. And Sardarabad is really that turning point where you need to start turning around and looking and seeing yourself as victors and not as victims. And so certainly when I talk about like our outreach programs, as an Armenian community, the whole In His Shoes philosophy was put together, not by me, but was put together by some young people that were, let's see, three or four generations removed from the genocide. I brought them together. This was in the year 2003. And we had this little conference, like, what is Armenian identity today? What does it mean? And this is part of the youth ministry idea that we had at the time. And here was a young group of young people coming together, and they said that the only way we could make sense out of something as tragic as the genocide and now move it over into our identities today is not to just sit there and harp on Turkey, but to look out and feel the pain of others, and feel their, in feeling their pain, helping them out. In other words, walking in the shoes of others. This comes from young Armenians that are trying to make sense out of identity. And you can't just keep beating them with the idea that you're victims. No, we're victors. Because when you're walking in the shoes of others, it means you're in charge. It means that you are in a position to be able to walk in the shoes of others and therefore feel their pain and therefore help others. I mean, it's fantastic when you think about it. It's really that change in mentality. It's that change in vision. It's that change. And it's the only change that really a Christian needs to go through. Because what is the difference between that Easter weekend, between Good Friday and Easter? It's the victory. Good Friday, all the chips were down. Everything was over. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, having taken flesh, was put upon a cross by his own creation, was spit upon, was betrayed, was denied, was tried, convicted, and not only murdered, but was tortured and killed. And so it was over. But Easter Sunday, that victim Jesus became victorious Jesus. And the promise is to everybody that you believe in him and you can be victorious. And so Sardarabad is really, for the Armenian people, that shift, that change, where you see that you're no longer victims. You can hold your own. Now let's bring that over to us. Let's bring that over to us, I know we got a little bit into Armenian history today, and I know we have so many listeners who are not Armenian, but hey, this is what it's about, right? I mean, we hear all kinds of history in schools. Yesterday, my son Christopher brought me his history book, and he had just gotten it. He's in AP history, I have to say that very proudly. 10th grade AP history, and he brings me the new history book. Well, you know what I do? I don't know how many of you do this. You know, the first thing I did is I opened up the index and I looked up Armenian. Just got to make sure that we're in there, you know. It's a weird thing. I've done that all my life. And, you know, what was fun was just watching him. He did the same thing. We looked it up together. And sure enough, there was reference there to Armenia. I know. I'm not pretending we deserve chapters. And although I believe it, we're going to get chapters. But there's references, okay? There's paragraphs. There's little subheadings about the Armenian resistance, about Armenian genocide. Now, that's important to find that, to be able to relate that history to new generations. But in relating that history, you need to give something beyond that history, where it makes sense, where it has meaning. Just like Jesus, if you give the story of the cross and say Jesus shed blood, it's okay. You know, a lot of people have sacrificed, but the strength of the story is in the resurrection of Christ. He is resurrected, in other words, no longer victim, now a victor. And so when you make that shift, and the reason why I brought that up about my son in his book is that so many times we look, and I felt guilty doing it, we look for those references to Armenian genocide instead of looking for those references of Armenian victory. The story hasn't changed. Our perception has changed. The Easter story contains a cross and it contains an empty tomb. Your perception of what you want to see in that story is up to you. It's subjective, right? It's your perception. There's many people who can focus on the cross. There's people who can focus on the empty tomb. Armenian Orthodoxy, or what we talk about here, Armodoxy, asks that you perceive the entire story. You can focus on genocide. You can also focus on that rebirth. The Sardarabad. Or you can look at it all as one package, and you call that package what? Life. I mean, that's what we're called to do, especially at this time of Christmas. Now, just bear with me for a couple minutes. You know, when we talk here on Armodoxy, it's very important for us to understand that Christ is at the center of our faith. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean this person, Jesus Christ, at 2,000 years ago? Yes, it does. But beyond that, it also means the eternal one. It means the one who is without beginning. It means not only that the Christ, Jesus Christ, who was manifest 2,000 years ago, but also the one from the beginning of all eternity. And he is there as much as the one 2,000 years ago. And forgive me, I don't mean it to sound like there's two of them or it's it's some kind of magical thing. Same thing, but I'm limited by the vocabulary that we have. I said a few minutes ago, I talked about the astronomers who had found the size of the universe. Just this morning, it was on today's news. They miscalculated the size of the universe, okay? The universe is the same. Perception has changed, right? They miscalculated it to the tune of 200 sextillion stars. What is a sextillion? It's one with 21 zeros behind it. And they were off by 200 of these. 200 sextillion stars, more than they ever imagined. We're up to about 300 sextillion. I mean, you know, when you're counting in that terms, what's the difference between a sextillion and a septillion? Well, you can't imagine either of them. I mean, it's beyond imagination. Or as we say in the Armenian liturgy, we talk about God as being beyond all understanding. Now, think about all of this for a moment. Isn't it just a matter of perception? Isn't it just our perception of how life looks and what we want to perceive in that life? The Christian is called not to just focus on the cross, not to just focus on the resurrection, but to focus on the entire thing. It's not proper to just, you know, this is what we teach in Armadoxy. You can look at the genocide. You can look at your past and say, okay, it's been plagued with wars, with genocide. But also look at the rebirth and put it together as one package. So in looking at the rebirth, you understand that genocide had a place in you arriving here, and therefore you need to put your feet in the shoes of others. Because now you understand, you now perceive life differently, therefore you have to be able to interact with life differently. It's not enough to just perceive. It's not enough to just see the cross on Friday. It's not enough to witness the resurrection. Not enough to say that there was a genocide in your past. Not enough to say, hey, hooray, we're living today. But to be able to make that transition. I don't know if some of you caught the Questions in Faith series last night. Let's see, what would that be? December 1st, if you want to check out the archives at apostle.net. We talked about the idea of seeing Christ in the birth, in the nativity stories, not as just some event that takes place, and not as a conclusion to Jewish history. This is very, very important. You see, when you talk about Christ, he's not bound by ethnicity. And I take exception with people who say that Christ was a Jew. No, he wasn't. There is a tradition which we know about, and he comes out of a Jewish tradition in the Old Testament, right? But that Old Testament, now listen really carefully, this is very important, is not necessary to your understanding of who Christ is. Because Christ is a complete, brand new story to us. He allows us to shift our perception of life. And you look at the Old Testament with a God that's vengeful, with a God that is, it gives you a set of rules and regulations to follow. And you look at the New Testament and you have a God that is not changed. But here it is. Ready? Our perception of that God is changed through Jesus Christ. That's a big shift. God's the same. So we no longer understand God as a vengeful God, but we understand him as loving and caring because of what took place, because of the revelation, because he took form. He cared about us so much that he sent his only begotten. Okay, so the shift has been made. And you have that opportunity to look at Old Testament. You have an opportunity to look at New Testament. You have an opportunity to look at the entire package and say that that has a place. But today I'm focusing, my perception is on the newness of Christ. God has not changed. God is the same, beginning, yesterday, today, tomorrow, right? But our perception has changed. So we don't perceive him as a vengeful God. We don't perceive him as a God of rules. We perceive him as a loving and caring God who gives us not a rule, but a commandment to love one another, to care for one another. By this they will know that you are my children, to reach out to others, to do the least of my brothers, you do it to me. And so when you change that perception, you now begin to, well, I don't want to use this word very casually, but it's the word that's appropriate. You begin to understand. Can you understand God? Well, yes, you can. Because God is love. And in our understanding, in ourselves as a loving and caring people, born and created in the image of God, we have that capacity to love. See, I don't buy into that whole thing about like there's these different types of love. Love is one. Eros, filial love, agape. You know what? At its core, it's all the same. Yes. Think about it for a moment. A few months ago, we did some musical thing. Do you remember that? Beethoven's Fifth. Have you ever listened to Beethoven's Fifth? If you haven't, go listen to it today. In its entirety. Okay? Listen to it. There is eros. There's filial love. And there's agape. It's the sharing. In Christ Jesus, love is one. In God, love is one. Our perception needs to be open to the idea that God is one. Now, Armodoxy, when we talk about Armodoxy, this is what we're talking about. It's at the core of Armenian Orthodoxy. It's at the core of Christianity. Because Armenian Orthodoxy was there when Christianity was formed. And then somehow there's all kinds of politics that go on. There's a structure that takes place. But if you wipe that all out, you find at the bottom of it, there's this fundamental understanding that what takes place today is directly connected with what took place at the beginning of the universe. And so that figure of 300 sextillion fits right in to your understanding of who you are. You were there. You are here today. This is pretty, pretty heavy duty, isn't it? And luckily, the harpist has moved into the studio. She's playing the tunes. And I'm going to take advantage of this cue to give it over to Ani. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back after Ani's bubbles and continue. I hope you're with me so far. This has been fun. Anyway, here is Ani, delightful Ani, with today's bubbles.
The Bishop's Gift, today's spiritual bubble. Once, a church had fallen upon hard times. Only 5 members were left, the pastor and 4 others, all over 60 years old. In the mountains near the church lived a retired bishop, and it occurred to the pastor to ask the bishop if he had any advice that he could offer to save the church. The pastor and the bishop spoke at length, but when asked for advice, the bishop simply responded by saying, "I have no advice to give. The only thing I can tell you is that the Messiah is one of you." The pastor, returning to the church, told the church members what the bishop had said. In the months that followed, the old church members pondered the words of the bishop. "The Messiah is one of us?" they each asked themselves. As they thought about this possibility, they all began to treat each other with extraordinary respect, on the off chance that one of them might be the Messiah. And on the off chance that each member himself might be the Messiah, they also began to treat themselves with extraordinary care. As time went by, people visiting the church noticed the aura of respect and gentle kindness that surrounded the five old members of the small church. Hardly knowing why, more people began to come back to the church. They began to bring their friends, and their friends brought more friends. And within a few years, the small church had once again become a thriving church, thanks to the bishop's gift. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Very cool. You mean that's all it takes, huh? Just for us to believe that God is within us. Wow, that's novel. Thank you, Ani. Ani's bubbles are here every week just to give us something to think about. And, you know, like I was thinking about like Christmas gifts. Bubbles are such a perfect gift for people. You know, I love blowing bubbles. And whenever I get together at family events, and there's even whether there's kids or not, I blow bubbles because it just gets you, first of all, it's very relaxing and it gets your mind to go off, you know, with those bubbles. And really, Ani, when she comes and gives us these little lessons, these little snippets of life, you know, it's so appropriate because for a few minutes it gets you to think, hey, that's all it is. That's how simple life can be. Isn't that the message that Christ gave us? That the kingdom is accessible for everyone. For the rich, the poor, for the young, the old, for the slave, for the free. The kingdom is right now. It's accessible and you're there. You are the Messiah. And if you believe that, what happens? Has anything changed? Yes. Perception has changed. Thank you, Ani. It's wonderful how you do that. I don't know how you do it, but you always come in with just the perfect story for the day. Anyway, we've got, before we go on any further, let Susie give her little message right now. And I know it's needed, especially this time of year. And then we'll be right back with today's Bible lesson.
Hi, this is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I wanted to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. We are now in the third year of production and growing daily with new listeners around the globe. This new message of Armenian Orthodoxy, or as Father Vazgen calls it, Armadoxy, is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties. Epostle.net is the voice of Armadoxy, committed to bring apostolic evangelism to an electronic world. This means we need to avail ourselves to technology's latest tools. Your donations help us expand and deliver this message to a waiting world. Please support us by pressing on the donate button at the inhisshoes.org website. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazgen.
One of my favorite parts of Christmas is getting out all the Christmas music. Definitely love that album. That's off the Jethro Tull Christmas album. You got to check that one out. But Susie makes a real good point. You know, we got to support the things that we really believe in. And, you know, here's a ministry that really gets by. We're at year three right now, and every day we've got new people writing to us, turning on to us. We have a presence on Facebook. We have followers on Twitter. Of course, our websites. It's all thanks to your prayers, thanks to the constant prayers that you have for this ministry, for us personally, and of course through your donations, which really give us the ability to buy the tools that we need to further this ministry. So please remember us in your Christmas giving, and as well as all year long. We've got all kinds of ways for you to give, especially on our website. Check out the donate button. And you know what? I'm just doing this. I'm going to throw this out. We have a wonderful album that we do every Christmas. We promote it. It came out 2 years ago. We produced it with our good friend Gor Mkhitaryan, and I know we have a few copies of it left. If there are donors, let's make it to 25. How about that? Okay, 25 or over. If you're donating, we'll be happy to send you a small little thank you gift this Christmas season. It is the Gor Mkhitaryan Spirit album, and we invite you to check that out. Fantastic music from a fantastic musician. That's Gor Mkhitaryan. You can get it anywhere, but if you make a donation to In His Shoes or to Epostle, we'll be happy to send that out. Yes, I'm looking at our staff over here. They're giving me the elf look, okay? They're giving me the thumbs up with the elf look. Like, okay, we'll do it. You know, we'll do it for you. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Hey, listen, before we go on with the Bible study for today, let me also mention that if you check out our website, inissues.org, there's all kinds of programs that we have for the Advent season. Most importantly is not only getting involved in what we're doing at In Issues, but getting the message of In Issues out to other people. We really appreciate you passing along a link to this podcast, passing along a link to epostle.net, telling people about In His Shoes, what it's all about changing perception. Changing perception so that when we say on Christmas morning that Christ is revealed, Merry Christmas has a very special meaning, because Christ is revealed not just somewhere in Jerusalem, not just 2,000 years ago, but Christ is revealed in our lives, in your life, in my life, in the life of this world. And when Christ is revealed, we have no other option but to have peace, to have love, to have that harmony between human beings. Christ is revealed. It's not just the slogan. It's not just a saying. It's the message of this season. Please do check us out at inissues.org, and love to get in touch with you. Drop us a line at feedback@epostle.net. Let us know how we can help, maybe to do the same in your area, geographic area, get some attention and get people working in this direction.
Hinet arbeid når det åre, inne åre, jev huset nåre, jeg sejt kan opsås ush haskata. Og hjelp ar matneris vera darza, ins geta shemin, him ganzarani. Դրան վրա պատրաստ կախված էր բանալին.
Yesterday's lectionary reading came to us from the Gospel of Luke. It's Luke chapter 12 specifically, and it's a fantastic story. I love it because it really sets the tone for what Advent is all about. Remember I said earlier, Advent is a time for introspection. It's a time for us to evaluate who we are and prepare ourselves for Christmas. But in that preparation, different from the Lenten season where we look inward, this time we look inward to see what we could do outward. How we can push ourselves to look at others, to see the human condition, and to see, well, like Ani said so beautifully, to see the Messiah, to see the presence of God in our brothers and sisters. And in so noticing, then doing something to reach out, to share, to provide that love and that care that is so necessary in this world. Now, this story comes to us from the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and it begins really interestingly enough with somebody asking Jesus the story. I think that as a priest I could relate to, and I know every priest probably could relate to. Listen to this. One of the multitude said to him, "Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me." Okay, so somebody wanted Jesus to take care of some matter of inheritance. Now, why can I relate to this? Well, listen to the next sentence. But Jesus said to him, "A man who made made me a judge or divider over you. Like so many times, people coming up to Jesus and understanding that he is a savior fail to realize that he can save them for eternity, and they want the small things. They want the little things. They want him to stand as arbitrator over some money, over some possessions. And Jesus says, take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Hey, what are you guys talking about? Is that what you come to me as Jesus, as Christ? I'm standing here as a savior for your eternal soul. You coming to me and saying, tell my brother to split up his inheritance with me? And Jesus then goes on to tell him this parable. We'll tell the multitude this parable. He says, the land of a rich man brought forth plentifully, and he thought to himself, what shall I do, for I have nowhere to store my crops? And he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul? I love that. I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this is like a big time, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. In Armenian, there's a saying, Udenk khmen kifanenk. Okay, it's the same expression. There it is. Eat, drink, be merry. That's what it's all about. And, you know, I've got so much, and I made more, and because I don't have anywhere to store it, I will build bigger barns, bigger storage areas. Okay, we don't build barns today. What do? We go down to public storage because we don't have enough room in our homes. Because our garages are overflowing, we go down to public storage. And if we're nice enough, they even give us 1 month free. No, this is not a commercial. This is just me looking all around me. They're all over the place. So Jesus, nothing's changed. It was the same back then. People tearing down their barns, making more. Now, what's interesting, if you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, do not be angry with your brother. He says, if you call your brother a fool, you will be guilty of, actually, it's the sin of murder, right? Because you've murdered the person. Through your hatred, through your anger towards that person. Do not call a person a fool. And Jesus continues this parable with these words. And he said, that night God said to him, fool! What? Jesus calling someone a fool? Yep. Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be? You've prepared all this stuff. You've broken down your barn. You've built bigger walls. You've stored. You've paid public storage an extra couple months rent. Whose will it all be? Tonight, it's over. Your soul is being required of you. And so he concludes this parable by saying, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. In a very famous sermon by the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he makes a similar point using this parable. He says, I could have told that fool where to store the excesses. I could have told them the names of barns. It's the empty tummies of those little children who are starving to death. The people on the streets who need the food, the nourishment. You could have stored it there, but instead he stored it for himself and it had no use. You see, as we prepare for Christmas, the church's teaching prepare us to reach out, teaching us that life is not an accumulation of the wealth that we have, of the things that we have due to that wealth. but life is much more. And Jesus continues in that same passage with that most beautiful saying where he looks at the lilies of the field. He looks at the birds of the air and he says, you know, they don't care about tomorrow. They live for the day. And your heavenly Father takes care of them. How much more are you worth than those birds, than those flowers, than the grass that is here today and withers tomorrow? How much more are you worth? And how much more will your heavenly Father take care of you when you trust in him? You see, the more we trust things, the more we trust wealth and what that wealth can buy us, the less we trust God. And that's the unfortunate side of life. You know, the more you get attached to the things of life, the less you understand what life is all about. Again, perceptions. It's all there. Now, I'm not telling you to just abandon wealth, but wealth has its place. It cannot overrule your, it cannot take over your life. Unfortunately, it does, unless it is bridled. Now, I don't want to get into the deeps. This is not about a lesson on wealth. It's a lesson on Advent, preparing ourselves for Christmas. Today's message is a simple one. Take an inventory of your life. And what can you do with the things that you have to help others, to share with others, to make the lives of others a better life? Just as God did on that first Christmas. What do I have that I could give to my creation so that their life can be full, so that their life can be full of love, of caring, of peace? I know I could give my very best. I will give my son. Likewise, what can we do? God has given us this beautiful gift. It is Christ's birthday in a few weeks. We celebrate that birthday by offering a gift to him. His request is to give to others. Give to others, and he will be fulfilled. So I challenge you today. Take a look at this passage. Take a look at Luke chapter 12. We're going to be looking at a lot of the parables during this Advent season. Put yourselves in the shoes, in the position of this person, and say, what could I do? The things that God has given me, what are those things? And how can I share that? How can I provide for others? What can I do? I don't want to lengthen it more than that. I want to just leave it at that. It's an Advent lesson for today. And we're going to be looking at other parables in the coming weeks. We're on epostle.net. Check out our Bible studies. Got a lot of stuff going on. Hey, listen, before we can conclude today's show, I do want to do a shout out. I stumbled upon a great website. I want to draw your attention to it. It is called Banagan. Let's see, it's at banagan.blogspot.com. And I will make sure that there's a link on our website. This is by Deacon Ryan Talalian. And I want to say that, was he on our show? I'm pretty sure that he was sitting at the old studio. Yes. Okay. Which one? Number 5. Thank you. He was on. Wow. Number 5. Are you sure? We are up to number. We are up to show number 30. 130 today. 130 shows. So he was on very, very early. So we want to say one of the early friends of this ministry. His name's Deacon Ryan Talalian, and he's writing a blog over here. It's interesting. Banagan, it is, he subtitles it, A Voice of Reason in, From, For the Armenian Church. Pretty wild. Ryan, God bless you. I'm looking forward to reading some more. Read one of them. Got to just get a little bit of time to sit down and make some comments on there. I love it that people are thinking in this direction. Anyway, we'll put a link up there, and God bless him and all the work that he's doing. And do check out, I guess it was episode number 5. Of course, this podcast, today's, as well as every podcast we've done from the beginning of time, nowhere near the sextillion numbers we're talking about, but pretty close. They're all up at epostle.net. When you get to the website, do check out the archives button. Hey, I feel like my voice is going today. So it must be the studio. So help us get a new studio. Is that the way I want to finish today? No. I don't want to tear down the walls of the barn just to put in more things. I want to tear down the walls so that we can do some greater things. For the glory of God, for his kingdom. And I know that it's a job that we're doing together. And I always feel that because I feel your prayers are with us, and know that our prayers are with you. Hey, for the wonderful team who put today's show together, we want to invite you back next week. In the meantime, please join us at epostle.net and inhisshoes.org. Those are our websites. We're on Facebook. We are on Twitter. You can follow us. All kinds of things that you can do through the electronic media, because we are apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding world and universe. How appropriate. For the wonderful crew that puts this show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken up in the booth, for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience, not valid with any other offer.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week.